We grew up on a little shell road in St. Mary Parish down by Patterson, a little place called Rickahawk. And where our house was, there was a shell road that went to the Bayou Teche. And my grandparents had a house in the Teche, right there on the side of it. But there was a couple who lived across the road from us, a Belgian couple of all people, actually. And I was like five. I was out running around, and my dad was talking to the husband, and my mom was talking to the wife. And they were looking at the bayou, and they said, all of a sudden, they just see this silver disc just slowly across the back of the bayou. And my mom looked at the lady and said, did you see that? She said, yeah, I saw it. I don't know what that was.
Every raindrop reflecting on the water as the sun shuts her eyes. Don't know why you'll uncover. Watch the tide rolling with the moonlight. Everything is silent on this Louisiana night.
You are listening to Missing Magnolias, and we have a new topic for us today. We are not covering crime or creepy dolls. We are covering the topic of unexplained aerial phenomena, UAP. With us, we have a representative from the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies, Reggie Buck. Welcome, Reggie.
Hello, how you guys doing?
So just a little bit of backstory. Michelle and I encountered Reggie through a local meetup in Lafayette with Reggie's organization that was designed to interact with the public, raise awareness, collect data and evidence. Pre-show, Reggie, I was on your organization's Twitter and I came across a study that you guys recently worked on titled A Forensic Analysis of the Rubber Duck UAP. What's interesting about that, apart from the bizarre rubber duck shape, is that it was leaked by Homeland Border Patrol to a podcaster of all people. So we just came off of the congressional hearing this summer and we didn't seem to get many answers there, but we have this instance of government officials possibly leaking videos to the public.
The rubber duck video is interesting in the fact that the guy who actually released it's kind of a UFO guy. He just happens to work for Border Patrol, just one of those kind of things. But the last I heard is that it was a drone used for drug enforcement, and it did have a very funny shape because it looks like a rubber duck. That's what it was. And the guy who released it, he's released stuff in the past. I don't know his name offhand, but I've heard of him before. And I think he did work for Border Patrol. Now, I'm saying all this allegedly. I don't know for sure. But that's what I had been told the last, is that it was pretty much a drone. And this guy had released a few things before that. He also released one that was supposedly off of a Border Patrol helicopter. And it kind of showed some weird things. But I think that they kind of disproved that one, too. I think that might have been just some drones also.
And there's so many shapes out there. It seems that's a big part of this culture, is just talking about the different shapes, like the Tic Tac, the gimbal, now the rubber duck. There are people that are just now kind of waking up to it, as well as like the long haulers that have been deeply invested in this topic for many, many years. Can you explain a little bit about your organization? And I'm so curious to know what your day-to-day looks like. And we're also noticing that what happened to UFO is it's no longer a term people are using. It's just UAP now.
Now, UAP has actually been around for a long, long time. It was actually used back in the 1950s. And the reason they decided to go with the UAP instead of the UFO was that the P stands for phenomenon. Because not always is it an object. Sometimes it's a glowing thing. Sometimes it's under the water. Sometimes it's a mist. Or sometimes it's all kind of weird stuff. So instead of just classifying it as an object, they said, let's classify it as the whole phenomenon. Because the phenomenon does take on its own weird life of its own, but they decided to use that word instead of just saying object. Let's call it what it is, a phenomenon that we don't really understand. So that's where the term UAP comes from. As far as my day-to-day life, it's just I usually go to work and come home. I haven't been as involved lately because when COVID hit, everything kind of stops. I went to our first conference back in 2019, and they had some video conferencing they did in 2020, 2021. But I did reach out to the head of the investigations. He's also a good buddy of mine. And I called him and I said, hey, man, I want to get back into the investigative side of it. I want to start doing investigations again. And he said, yeah, man. He said, I just got to bring it to the board. Everything will look at it. That's what I'm hoping to do here very, very, very soon.
And so for those who aren't familiar with the meetup, so how does that work? Can you describe a little bit how people come to you with stories, videos, and photos?
The main reason we had the meetup, and I'll just give you a quick backstory. I hang out at that place all the time. I don't know if we need to say the name or not, but I hang out at that particular place all the time. And there's a guy in there. He walked up. He said, hey, man, I hear you're like the UFO guy around here. And I'm like, maybe, I guess. And he said, well, let's do it like a meetup. We got to talk. We talked for like 3 hours. He said, let's do a meetup. I said, okay. And so I talked to the proprietors of the place and they said, yep. So I said, let's just do it. And we set up for a few weeks later and was totally shocked by the amount of people who showed up. And they all had interesting questions and interesting stories to tell. But that's how that happened. I'm happy we did it. I was asked by the manager over there when we're doing it again. And I said, we'll try to get something together then.
Since you're the UFO guy locally, what kinds of stories have you been getting from people here? What kinds of sightings? You know, we always hear in the news about over water or near or proximity to military bases. So what's kind of on the ground? What's the stories been like for these sightings?
Well, I haven't got anything lately because I haven't been in investigative area lately. Background, I was a state director for the Mutual UFO Network from like 2012 to 2018. And I would do a lot of investigations. We used to get probably 3 or 4 cases a month. And to be honest with you, three of them were pretty easy to say, okay, that was a plane, that was on a star or whatever. But every once in a while you talk to somebody like, wow, this is fascinating. This happened, I want to say back in the late 80s, early 90s. A man called me up and he and his wife were driving back from either Natchitoches or Shreveport, but they were on I-49 going south. And it was Easter Sunday. So there was hardly any traffic at all that day, hardly nothing, just him and his wife. And they're riding. It's all of a sudden he sees 3 groups of 3. And it looked like 3 shark fins, like a shark fin, shark fin, shark fin. But there was like 3 here, 3 here, and 3 here. And they're all like in a triangle shape. And they're just cruising through the air. And he was just like, well, what is this? So he pulls over and he gets out. He looks at his wife, gets out to look at him. He keeps looking. He's like, well, let me get my camera. He had those 4 phones and all that. So he says, let me get my camera. So he gets his camera out of this trunk of his car, and when he starts to start taking photographs, they're all gone. And I said, well, you know, have you seen this before? You know, what's going on? He goes, and he said, Reggie, my job is to build airplane wings. That's what I do for a living. He said, nothing like that can fly in air. He said, just an impossibility. Him and his wife got in their car, and they just kind of forgot about it and drove off. I found that to be a very interesting case because he was a real good witness because that was his job. I had another guy, he called me, and he was in pretty bad shape. He was, I think, getting close to dying. But he had been in the military during Vietnam, but he had been at Fort Polk. And he was driving on a back road from Kinder to Fort Polk. It was like around Christmas, he said. It was a little bit of traffic. It was a 2-lane road. He said, all of a sudden, this UFO came down and was hovering over the road. And then it kind of went up high, like over train tracks. He said, it kept doing that. He said, everybody stopped the car, got out, looked at it, just watched it for a while, for a few minutes. And then it went, took off. It was gone. No sound, nothing. He got back in his car and he was looking at his friend saying, well, we need to talk about this. He goes, man, we talk about this, we'll be peeling potatoes for the rest of our lives. He said, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. So he always just kept his mouth shut about it. So that was an interesting case. And then one day my dad says, well, I saw a UFO at White Sands, New Mexico when I was in the Army. And he saw one that was around some dunes. That was interesting. And then my mom was like, later on, where we grew up on a little shell road in St. Mary Parish, down by Patterson, a little place called Rickahawk. And where our house was, there was a shell road that went to the Bayou Teche. And my grandparents had a house in the Teche, right there on the side of it. But there was a couple who lived across the road from us, a Belgian couple of all people, actually. And I was like 5. I was out running around. And my dad was talking to the husband. And my mom was talking to the wife. And they were looking at the bayou. And they said, all of a sudden, they just see this silver disc just slowly across the back of the bayou. And my mom looked at the lady and said, did you see that? She said, yeah, I saw it. I don't know what that was. And my mom being my mom, there's a little airport in Patterson. And so she called him up and she said, do you guys have anything flying over the Rickhawk area on the Bayou Teche at this time on this day? And they're like, nope, nothing been flying over there like 2 days. She's like, okay. So my dad opens a restaurant a few years later. At that time, there was a helipad and guys would fly out from Patterson out to the rigs offshore. And most of these guys were Vietnam veteran pilots and they'd been around and seen a lot. And then after their shift was done and they were done for the day or whatever, they stopped by my dad's place to drink a beer or whatever, shoot the breeze. So my mom's there one day and she sits down with him. And she says, I got a question. Have you guys ever seen anything strange or unusual up there? And they all kind of looked at each other and they went, no, we've never seen anything like that ever before. I'm shaking my head yes, as they said no. So on the radio, my mom said, okay, that's all I need to know. They didn't want to talk about that. But yes, they had seen some very strange things in the air. I've kind of grown up in this weird world and I've heard all these really cool stories. So that's kind of where that comes from. But lately, I haven't heard anything in a while. I haven't looked up at the UFO reporting or any of that. I plan on it, but it's just, like I said, picked up the last couple of weeks.
That's such a big part of our show is we try to tell the victim's POV, but with this kind of topic, we don't think about how many people have like lived with these experiences and then felt stigmatized from not coming forward and how they must feel now to have, in a sense, you know, more and more people kind of validate their experiences.
That's the big thing for me. Why is it that I saw something that I can't explain automatically makes me a drug addict, an alcoholic, a schizophrenic, somebody with a mental issue, whatever, which is also its own awful thing to say. And I always remember being like, that doesn't make any sense because this person is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with them. They're good people. They just saw something that they can't explain. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to say, I saw something I don't understand. And it's good to have someone to talk to who doesn't sit there and say, oh, well, you're nuts. And I've always tried to be that guy. But I've always asked the questions, okay, well, what time of the day? What was going on? You know, was it hot, cold? What was the weather like? You know, on and on and on and on. Because I'm trying to figure out what could it be. And once you cancel all that stuff, then you're left with, well, we don't know what it is. It's a phenomenon. It's unidentified.
And it seems like it's on the uptick, more sightings, or maybe we're just now publishing. Do you have an opinion on that? And do you think there's a reason that maybe there's an uptick?
I think there's an uptick because since 2017, that's when all this kind of broke loose. The New York Times article and everything that happened was in December of 2017. And I think since then, people have, number one, been looking a little bit more at the skies because we are a society that tends to look at our phones as we walk around everywhere. We don't look at the skies that much anymore unless we just happen to get out into the woods, luckily, if we get that opportunity. But we are a society that does look down more than we look up. But I think that because of what happened in 2017, people feel a little more comfortable about what they've been seeing, so they will come forward. Because now they're like, well, heck, you know, let's go out and look at the sky. Let's see what's going on. Maybe we will see something. I think that's two things. Number one, the article in the New York Times and the government saying, yep, we don't know what these things are. And people being like, okay, well, if the government says it's okay to talk about this, well, then let's talk about it.
Michelle, you're a camper. I'm not a camper. So you spend quite more time outdoors. Have you had any experiences or any, since you spend a lot of time looking at the sky?
Guess I've spent all my time looking for a lugaru and not an alien or a UFO.
The lugaru. Oh, yeah. Right.
I have to ask, where do you lie on the government aliens argument?
Well, that is in itself a great question. Where I lie is, I'm going to be very honest with you, I don't know. And do I think the government knows more than they let on? Obviously, yes. The government doesn't tell us much of anything, let's be honest. It's for some, most of it's for good reason, okay? But I also believe they don't know what it is. I think that this is something that's been going on for a very long time, since the 1940s, 1947, probably. That's when the first real sighting happens. And ever since then, they've been trying to figure it out. I think they know more than letting on, but I don't think they know much more than we do, to be honest with you. And it could not even be aliens. It could be something interdimensional. It could be something that's been here for a long time. There's a lot of people who think it could be part of a consciousness that we... Carl Jung would say that this is something we're manifesting through our own subconscious. Possibly. I have a hard time with consciousness popping up on radars and stuff, but I don't know, maybe that's all real. And it could be something that's been here for a long, long time.
Have you heard the theory that aliens are perhaps just humans, just evolved?
One of the guys who's in charge of the SCU, he had given a talk a long time ago. But he gave a talk when he was like 16 or 17 years old. He went to like a bunch of Air Force guys about UFOs. He's just like one of those guys. He's really smart. But he gave a thing and he said, like, this is what gray aliens look like. And this was years, maybe decades ago. This is what gray aliens look like. They're short. They got gray skin. And they got big eyes, big heads, small bodies. And he kind of drew it out, showed what it looked like. After his talk, a guy walked up and said, that's exactly what we think humans will look like in the future, is a gray alien. And he said, what you drew is what we think, because once we figure out space travel, we're not going to have the need for the body as much, but the brain is going to expand because we're going to need more brain power. And he said, also, we might be using like a biological craft. And a lot of people think that's what gray aliens are, if they're real, is that they are a biological android, for lack of a better term. They're something that can travel great distances and live for a long time. And they don't need a whole lot. They just kind of need to function. They don't need a lot of food or anything like that. That's also a theory out there about what that is. So I think that's pretty interesting.
I don't know if this ties into that, but have you heard of any kind of buildings that predate human civilization that they found? Is that something that's in the conversation?
It's not in the SCU conversation because they try to keep it very, very scientific. If you can prove it scientifically, they have no issue with it. I dig all that stuff. I'm a weird guy. I've been in all that stuff all my life. Is there a possibility that an extraterrestrial force or extraterrestrial group came to this earth hundreds of thousands of years ago and left a small imprint, and that the human beings at the time saw this and said, well, we want to be that. We want to try to recreate that. And so they tried to recreate that by building pyramids or old cities or bringing them back through whatever, through, you know, look at the stars and astronomy, astrology, however you want to look at it. That's a possibility. But as far as ancient buildings and stuff, I don't rule it out, but the evidence isn't great for it. Now, the one thing I do like is that we are finding that there are cities thousands of years older than any other structure we've ever found. And so all these things could have been a lot older than what we thought.
Do you ever have people get upset when you tell them that that's a solar flare or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I've had people tell me, no, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. I mean, not like physically or like violent or anything, but it's like, no, you're wrong. This isn't what it is. I know what I saw. And I tell them, I say, hey, I'm just telling you what the evidence shows. I'm not saying you didn't see it. I'm just saying if I had to fill out a report, I'm not saying it's this, because there's not enough evidence to say what you're saying is the actual factual. You're just giving me what you saw. So yeah, I've had people get upset. I had a woman one time tell me, she's like, I saw this green craft and it's sparkling green and it was beautiful and all this. Well, I said, well, there was a meteor shower that night. And she was like, was it a meteor? I guarantee that wasn't a meteor because it was green. There's no way it was a meteor. So I looked it up. Sure enough, that meteor was a green. It had the metal and it was green. And so I kind of said, well, yeah, it was a green meteor. Nope, it did this. It flew this way. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to argue with you. You know, it's like, if that's what you believe, that's fine. I have no issue with it. But when I file the report, this is what I have to write. So no one's ever got violent or anything, but I had one guy, he brought me a picture. He made me meet him at a coffee shop somewhere here in town. He brought me a picture and I'm looking at it and it was a crack in a windshield of a car. You know, he just took a picture and I was like, because what it was, I think he was just playing with his camera and didn't realize it. He looked at it, he goes, how much money do you think I'd get for that? I was like, nothing. I said, unless you had like Brad Pitt in the car with you. I said, you're not going to get any money for it. I said, he goes, but that's a UFO. I said, no, this is a crack. And I showed him how it was a crack in the windshield. He was kind of like, oh, because I don't believe you. I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to. You know, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. So yeah, it happens.
Do you get the sense of the people that are coming out to these meetings is changing?
No, I don't think so. The people who come out there are great people. I'm not saying anything like that. I used to go to Covington and go do these little talks at St. Tammany Parish Public Library. They would ask me to come out like June and July because that's like UFO times and UFO months. And one time I went out there for Halloween. Kind of the same people, but it was always packed. And it was everybody from 80-year-olds to 18-year-olds to all in between. And it was really fascinating. And they all had really interesting stories. The thing I don't see very much of is the debunker skeptics who walk in and say, nope, you're full of crap. You're lying. Get out of here. I've never had that happen to me.
I hate to go cliche here, but it sounds like you want to believe.
We all want to believe. I got a big poster right there on the wall. It's from the Fox Motor office. It's I want to believe. It's got the Adamski UFO on it. It's out there at the house. Of course, we all want to believe in something. Like I said, if they come to me tomorrow, they say the gimbal, the go fast, the other stuff, the Navy pilot videos. Well, that was all drones. We've proven it. None of that's real. You know, we've been doing all this for a long time. UFOs aren't real. You know, none of that stuff's real. Here's the technology. Here it is. You can actually go to another planet with it. Okay, great. Fine. I'll be like, okay, that's fine with me. I just want to know. Okay, I just want to know. And until somebody gives me that unequivocal, undoubtable proof, there's always going to be a little bit of that doubt, which takes you back to the belief.
What's your thoughts on alien abductions?
This is a touchy subject. I have no issue with alien abductions. Could it be possible? Absolutely. Do we have definitive proof? No, we don't have definitive proof. We have good proof. We have excellent stuff. I've talked to Travis Walton before. I don't know if y'all know the Travis Walton case. I think his case is real. I think when Benny and Barney Hill saw something and something happened to them, I don't know what it was, but I do believe something happened to them. Aliens, I don't know, something happened to them. There's a story about these four guys in Allegash, Pennsylvania. I think something happened to those four guys. And those are the ones that come off the top of my head that I think are legitimate. Like something happened. I'm not saying it was aliens, but something happened to those people. It goes to the other extreme, too. I had a woman call me one time, and she told me this story, and she saw this light come through her room. But then she started getting to this stuff, and it kind of freaked me out because she was like, well, I remember being lifted by the aliens, but I was brought to my uncle's house, and I think he did some horrible things to me. And I was like, okay, now we're getting to this whole other thing. That's probably what happened, and you're supplanting those memories with these memories. I didn't tell her that because I'm not a licensed therapist. I just sat and listened to her story and told her, hey, I appreciate you talking to me. And it was the coolest thing. We got done and she said, you're the first person to ever listen to me tell this story. And she goes, thank you so much for doing that. And I said, well, that's all I can do. I said, I can listen to your story. And I said, I appreciate you telling it to me, that you felt free enough with me to discuss it. So there's that part of it too.
Before we leave today, is there anything else that you want the public to know or want to add? Any information you want to plug?
For documentaries out there, just real quick, documentaries, The Phenomenon is great. James Fox's other documentary called I Know What I Saw is absolutely fantastic. And there's one that I recommend to everyone, and it's got the dumbest name. And it's called UFOs, A Secret History. Okay, UFOs, colon, A Secret History. You probably watch that one on YouTube. It is absolutely fantastic, and I know almost everybody in the whole documentary. That's another reason why I push it. But it's really, really good because it does a very accurate job of describing the UFO phenomena in America from the military government kind of point of view. So if you get a chance, so that's for everybody out there. Those are three real good documentaries to go check out. I do follow Instagram very heavily. I'm at buck.reggie on Instagram. Y'all are more than free to add me on there. You can message me on there. I have no issues with that. If you want to email me, it's reginald.buck@gmail.com. You're free to email me at any time if you have something you want me to look into. But I'm going to be very honest. I'm not great at looking at, I saw a light in the sky. If you say I got some good pictures, I got some good videos, we got radar evidence. I don't know if you can do that, but great, do it. I mean, you can do some FOIAs, Freedom of Information Acts, that stuff. I'll be more happy to look at all that stuff. And if you just want to tell me a story, that's fine. I'll be more happy to listen to your story. I may not necessarily believe your story or say that it's an actual story, but I would be more than happy to listen to you. I'm going to ask you some serious questions about your story, but I have no issue with listening to you. Abductions, whatever. You know, I like high strangeness. You know, I've had a woman tell me she got abducted, then she had, which is also a thing that happens, is poltergeist activity happens in the house. That's a very common theme after an abduction. You have really weird poltergeist activity afterwards. So that's something that's really neat too.
Did not know that.
Yeah, that's a very common thing after abduction. Yeah.
And you haven't heard any stories of desiccated cows?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you hear those stories. You don't see that here in the state of Louisiana. I never heard of it. Texas, yes. Oklahoma, yes. Out west, but Louisiana, no. Nothing on that side. Maybe Florida, but I haven't heard anything around here about that.
Okay, well, I have one last question. So say the government comes out and it's accepted. We know that extraterrestrials exist and they're with us. Have you thought about this, what you're going to do when it all comes out in the open?
My initial thought was I want to be the guy on the ship that goes. But also think about that Twilight episode of How to Prepare Man. How to better prepare man. I don't know if you guys ever seen that. You ever seen that episode? You know what I'm talking about. It's called How to Better Prepare Man. That was the name of the episode. So they came, but here, we're here to help you. We're going to do this and do that. Well, this guy, he's getting on the spaceship and his secretary runs out because it was a big book, but it was in his hieroglyphics. But she was able to translate it. And she runs as he's walking up to the ship. She's like, hey, no, it's a cookbook. It's a cookbook. And he's like, what? And they just shove him on the thing. And then he realizes that he's going to get ate. So it's like, so that's the other thing. People said, well, what if it, like, if you see it and it kills you or whatever? I said, at least I'll know the truth. At the end, I would know. And that's okay. If at the end I know it, then I'm fine with it. And I don't have a real issue with that. It's the not knowing part.
Thank you so much for your time. This has been really interesting.
Hey, this has been a blast. I love talking about this stuff. As you can see, I can talk about it for hours. But yeah, like I said, anybody wants to send me a message or whatever, feel free. Friend me on Instagram and send me a message. That's fine. I have an issue with it. Like I said, I may not believe your story unless it's got some really good evidence, but I'd be more than happy to listen to it. I have no issue with that. And thank you both so much. This has been fantastic.
No, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. So listeners, just get creative with your email subject heading.
There you go. Yeah, just don't. I saw a light in the sky. I'm like, all right, I'll look at it. But I'm like, okay. We all see lights.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a great night. Appreciate it.